try to read a little bit every night. Make it a habit, you know? The only problem is I fall asleep too quickly. Books are stronger than melatonin. Just get you a book, dude. It's about 50 milligrams a page. It's natural, it's fast acting. The side effects include learning. 8 hours, no problem, no problem. Put the book on your nightstand right by your bed, right? You wake up in the middle of the night, you see your book, you go back down. No, thank you. It's bedtime, bro.
That's comedian Sheng Wang from his debut Netflix comedy special, Sweet and Juicy. Sheng shows off his comedy chops with some very funny jokes and a personable, relatable approach. Whether he's talking about buying pants at Costco, his constant efforts to beat the system, or why he might be better off as a train, the jokes and the laughs just keep on coming. Sheng's fellow comedian Ali Wong directed the special. Sheng was born in Taiwan, but he's lived most of his life in the U.S., and he has great insight into what makes Americans tick and, more importantly, what makes them laugh.
My parents immigrated to the States when I was like 2 or 3, so it's not like I really understood what was going on. I mean, I think the culture shock just might be being a human being on this earth and also just being a child of immigrants, you know, in America.
I'm absolutely grateful that my parents immigrated, but as grateful as I am, I don't know if I would ever do that for my kids. That's a lot of inconvenience. That's a lot of suffering and sacrifice, right? Can you imagine? You leave your family, your friends, your community, you leave everything that you are familiar with, you move to a completely foreign country where you don't speak the language just so your offspring have more opportunities. And then your kid goes into stand-up comedy.
As you get older, you start to realize the culture shock and the whole dynamic of being a person of color in this country.
Right. Right, yeah. How did your parents react when you told them you were going to become a comedian, or have you not told them yet?
They don't. My parents, especially my dad, has a very strangely hands-off approach when it comes to life and life decisions for myself. And I think some people are surprised by that. But to me, you know, their idea was as long as you're happy. Of course, they want you to be financially stable and safe and healthy. There was not a bunch of pushback, I think, because either they want me to be responsible for my own choices, so if I ruin my life, they don't want to have a hand in that.
Right.
You know, I think if you look back and there's an upward trajectory in your career, I think that goes a long way with helping your parents come to terms with this choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Absolutely. You open your Netflix special, Sweet and Juicy, by talking about buying pants at Costco. And you have some pretty deep thoughts about doing that. Can you tell us about them, about your thoughts about buying pants at Costco?
Costco is an institution to a certain extent. And it's just like a thing you kind of get to in your life where you become excited and become a member of Costco. Yeah, so, you know, I found that to be that was happening to me in my 30s, my mid-30s. We moved from New York to LA for that writing job, me and my partner. And so we got here and suddenly we had a car and space and storage space. So, you know, life became more open for that Costco lifestyle.
Right, because when you buy pants from Costco, that's when you don't care anymore. That's when we let go of our egos and we begin our spiritual journey. Right? Because you hear people say stuff like, I'm not concerned about other people's opinions. I don't care about what they think. That is just talk until you back it up with the Costco pants purchase. That's how you let them know he for real. He don't give a damn for real. He wearing Kirkland pants.
Then suddenly you're like, this makes sense. This pair of pants, you know, makes perfect sense. It's comfortable, it's quality, and it's $8, $10, whatever. It's I don't know. I think to me it's just about examining your life and seeing where you're at and trying to find some meaning in those really seemingly basic everyday things, whether it's buying pants from Costco or doing dishes and having dreams of a bigger sink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things we can all relate to. We here at Beta are big Costco fans, and we affectionately refer to it as Keith Kirkland's, as if Keith Kirkland is the founder of Costco, even though he isn't. So I wonder, is making jokes about Costco pants kind of a clever trick to get Keith Kirkland's to start stocking a line of Shang Wang action slacks, perhaps?
I would be honored to collaborate with Costco. Yeah, that would be huge. I think that would be a bigger achievement for my parents to see than the special itself, maybe.
What did they've obviously seen the special, though, right?
I think so. I think they have. I haven't been home in Houston. I haven't been back to visit my parents since the special came out. But they've been with my family, like my sisters and my brothers. So I think they've been around when people have been watching it. I don't know how much they've actually watched.
My mom don't even know what stand-up comedy is. She tells her friends I'm like a clown with birds. But they're proud of me. My folks are proud of me. I assume they haven't said it yet.
I'm excited that it's on Netflix because there's so many subtitles in different languages. I think that's helpful for them. Because even though they brought me here when I was, 2 or 3 years old in 1980, early 80s, there's still a bit of a language barrier between me and my parents.
Well, I hope they watch the whole thing because they're missing out. Because it's such a great special. You've been doing stand-up for 20 years. How has your comedic voice evolved over the years?
Good stand-ups. I think the goal of the craft is to try to find your most true voice, the most authentic voice, and do comedy that is so original to you and so unique to yourself that no one else can copy or steal your jokes. Mm-hmm. And so that you are on stage performing and sharing what is true to your heart and having the most fun doing it.
Yeah, very well said. And I think you've done that, but I'm curious what you think. Do you think you've achieved your most authentic voice?
I think I'm getting closer to what that is. I feel like I'm always growing. I don't think I'm done changing and evolving and learning. So I look forward to getting closer to whatever that is. And I think that'll change as I change. But, starting out, I was a huge fan of Mitch Hedberg. And the comedian, the late great Mitch Hedberg was a very special comedian during that time when I was starting out. And so many comics adopted his sound and his feel and his vibe. And, when you're starting out, it's very common for people, artists or performers or writers or whatever, to emulate the folks that inspire them. But at some point, you want to come into your own and find your voice and your unique way of doing it.
If I have to print at home, I'm like, okay, we're gonna select the pages. There's no print all. Print all is for work. At home, we select pages. Double-sided, grayscale, lightest setting possible. When it comes out, it better be invisible. That's why it's so fun when you go to work, right? At work, you print fast, loose. You show up trigger happy. You ready to control P all day. You might not make the kind of money to live the life you dream of, but you can certainly print like you do.
I am no longer that concerned about whether or not I sound like this person or that person. I definitely do feel like I've got my own thing going.
Mm-hmm. You definitely do. I would agree that you have your own thing going. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I thought there were a few jokes, especially the more surreal and absurd jokes that you told that made me think of Mitch Hedberg. But it didn't sound like they were imitating, or ripping off Hedberg jokes. It just sounded that they had that same sort of quality. So that's interesting to know. That makes total sense that he'd be a big influence on you. I love the laid-back cadence of your delivery and the way you use physical comedy. I think that could well be your USP, your unique selling proposition. Can you talk about the way you tell your jokes and how you use physical comedy in your act?
That's so funny. That's such a funny, interesting question. I've heard that from multiple people, them mentioning my physical comedy, which is so interesting to me because I've never thought of myself as a physical comedian. I think because it's on TV, people can see it, you know, that element is more pronounced versus because mm-hmm. I feel like my physicality is pretty minimal and sparingly used, I would say. I think it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I definitely experimented with that in the past. I mean, I feel like in the past I was a lot more deadpan, and I've experimented with it to the extreme where I would just like almost be a really weird presence on stage, just slowing down my delivery and my cadence. So I played around with that for a while, but it may be a little bit newer in my journey as a stand-up, but I definitely have incorporated that to some extent in the past, but very sparingly.
Yes, you're right. It's definitely minimal. It's kind of, it's even on a bit on the subtle side. And I'm thinking of examples. I think sometimes when you're talking about typing something on, you know, the computer or something, you'll have your fingers dance over an invisible keyboard and things. It is subtle, but it is there. And I think it really adds to the power of your comedy. You spent some time living in New York City, and while you were living there, you got an offer to do a show in Boston. What happened?
Multiple things happened on that trip, but if you're referring to the story and that I tell, basically, I got an offer when I was in New York City, and I was just running around, just pushing myself to stand up every night. I remember getting an offer for a show in Boston, and I was grateful at the time for any kind of work.
They were gonna pay me and cover my transportation. I got the confirmation for the train from New York to Boston. Turns out that ticket cost more than my performance fee. I got bummed out. Started having some dark thoughts. I was like, dang, maybe I should just be a train. Maybe that's what I gotta do to make it. I know my nephew would be pumped to see me. Hell yeah, I'd be uncle of the year forever. I mean, partly why I do this is to inspire people like my nephew to follow their dreams. And the Asian American comedian, that's pretty exciting, but to be the first Asian American choo-choo train, that's trailblazing.
It's very common for comedians to compare themselves to each other. And in that moment, I was comparing myself to this train and how much this train was making. And I just had that surreal feeling of like, I want to be a train. I want to make that train money.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite jokes in that. Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you. In Sweet and Juicy, you say that the time you get to spend with your friends' children is very precious. How so? Mm-hmm.
I've been an uncle for like almost, I don't know, several years now because my sister started early. But I just feel like I'm now becoming a better uncle, you know, I just feel like I'm appreciating what it means to be around kids and their excitement and their wonder and their love. They're just curious and they will ask questions, and I love that about them. And they will point out things that they observe without being too cautious about how you feel.
One day my goddaughter said to me, she said, "Uncle Shane, your teeth are yellow and your elbows are gray." I was like, "Good morning." I was like, "I think we learned enough colors this month. I think you're good. You're good on colors. I think it's time for us to move on to how to deliver news with sensitivity."
It's like Art Linkletter said years ago, kids say the darndest things, yeah.
Right.
Your fellow comedian Ali Wong directed your special. What was your working relationship like?
She's a homie. She's a friend of mine. We both started comedy in San Francisco. So we started around the same time. And we've been kind of in the struggle together for a long time now. And so I was just grateful to work with her. You know, she's, to me, just someone that gets it because she's a comic. She's been through this process multiple times. She was pretty hands-off as far as, like, what the material was. She did help me kind of stop worrying about trying to make the special special. She was just like, just do what you do. And don't worry, you know, because I think it's a mistake that some comedians might kind of thinking or a trap they might fall into where they feel like because now that they have a special opportunity to make one, they suddenly want to change what they're doing and make it something different. Ultimately, she told me not to worry about doing anything different and just keep, you know, make the jokes as tight as they can be and as good as, you know, the best version of what they could be and just do that. And that was her approach, and that was her approach with the visuals. We weren't trying to be super experimental. We wanted to shoot a very, you know, seemingly traditional-looking special, just a beautiful red curtain, some lights, and a stage, and not do anything too radical. That was the idea. The experimental or radical part would be having me on stage telling jokes. That was it.
Yeah, and that was more than enough. Yeah. What's next for Shang Wang, besides the Shang Wang action slacks that we're hoping will be coming soon to a Keith Kirkland's near us?
I'm just enjoying this time. I'm trying to get situated, trying to find a good rhythm of life. I don't really know what's next. I think my main goal is to continue writing jokes and try to figure out what another hour would look like. That's really it. Just be healthy, be a good person, work on the craft, and try to live life well.
Yeah, and it seems that's what you're doing. You're living life very well. Shang Wang, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Sweet and Juicy. It really is sweet, juicy, and hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Comedian Shang Wang on his hilarious Netflix comedy special, Sweet and Juicy. You can find out more about Shang and his action slacks at wpr.org/beta.
If you're a person at all, you almost always find empathy for the people you're around, even when they're driving you bonkers.
Coming up, Lena Crow on her debut novel, Fire Season. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.